proud and giveth grace to the humble. Grant unto us true humility, after the likeness in which thine only Son hath revealed it in himself, that we may never be lifted up and provoke thy wrath, but in all lowliness be made partakers of the gifts of thy grace, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Since we have a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, and confess our sins before God, our Father, urgently imploring him to forgive us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy and innocent bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this bed, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Gospel lesson selected to be read this morning is taken from the 9th chapter of the book of St. Matthew. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on his bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your heart? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, take up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Amen.
God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God is written in the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 8th verse. When the crowd saw this, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. In the vernacular of this campus, today is designated Mini Call Day. It ought to be noted that whatever Mini modifies in that phrase, it cannot be call. There is no such thing as a Mini Call. For when a congregation of God's people invokes the Holy Spirit for guidance and determines that it will send a request through the Board of Assignments for a candidate to be its pastor, there is nothing mini about that. For that is an action taken out of great love for the church and with the profound confidence that the Holy Spirit does indeed direct the affairs of his church. And when a candidate presents himself to a theological faculty as one about to enter upon the holy ministry, there's nothing mini about that either. For by that time he has a great deal of himself and his family invested in that step. And when a theological faculty endorses a man as qualified in every respect for the office of the ministry of word and sacrament in the church, at precisely that juncture, a theological faculty is carrying out its most important assignment. But even given all of that, which would not make this a mini call, there is even more that is implied by the text. For we are here to assert that men so placed in the ministry of the church go with nothing less than the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very authority which astounded people in the text and which ought to astound each of us and ought to astound every congregation that we are privileged to serve. For it is nothing less than the authority to forgive sin. Jesus came into the world because of sin. He came not because of his sin, but because the sin that infects humanity because of the sin of the first Adam. For it is by one man that sin came into the world and death by sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. And it is to that condition that God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Yes, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, Jesus did not come into the world merely to deplore sin, merely to wag his head at it in righteous indignation, merely to shake his finger at it with a pious tish, tish, or a wave of the hand that says, oh my, oh my. He came to condemn sin in the flesh, in his body on the tree. The sins of all the world are nailed. Jesus went into battle against principalities and powers, and he triumphed over them. That is the authority which we confront in the text. Jesus returned to his hometown. He came to his own city, and they brought to him a paralytic. And when Jesus saw the paralytic, he said, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven you." And immediately the scribes began to wag. "This man is blaspheming." So Jesus said to them, "So tell me, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say get up and walk? But that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he turned and said to the paralytic, "Rise, take up your bed, and go home." And he did. And the crowds are amazed and astonished, and they glorified God who had given such authority to man. Such authority. Listen to the majestic language of Martin Franzmann for a description of that authority. "Jesus made Son of Man his characteristic self-designation, one which he employed in describing his whole mission as comprehensive representative and head of the suffering and triumphant people of God. He used it in describing his future return in glory. He also used it in depicting the veiling of his glory in his present humiliation and suffering. He used it in asserting the authority which was his even in that humiliation. His words to the paralytic, 'Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven,' reveal the beating heart of that authority, the central significance of his everlasting kingship and dominion, the forgiveness of sins. It is forgiveness, not as a remote heavenly and eschatological possibility, but as a present on earth reality. Forgiveness with a face which a man can see, the face of the Son of Man who calls the sinner my son. A forgiveness written into a history that a man can read and know, rise, take up your bed, and go home. But it is divine, authoritative forgiveness for all that." And it clothes the Son of Man with the awe which becomes the divine forgiver. "There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Matthew concludes his record of this curative forgiveness with the words, "When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to man." And it is precisely that authority that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to men today. Recall the words of Easter evening. "Peace be to you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Such authority is ours in the office of the Holy Ministry. An authority that is today, not some heavenly, remote, an eschatological possibility, but it is the present on earth reality of the forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness with a face that a man can see, your face and mine. A human being who has the power of Jesus Christ to say, "Your sins are forgiven." And it is authoritative. It is authoritative forgiveness. And it is as valid and certain in heaven also as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself. Such authority is given to you. And in the face of that authority, people will continue to glorify God, to give thanks and praise to God that he still sends men into his ministry, men empowered to speak God's abiding forgiveness over the troubled and broken lives of people. Very soon, you will find out where your field of labor is to be. And very soon, too, will those whom you will serve. They will find out what kind of a man God has sent in answer to their prayer. What kind of a man who will be their shepherd, who will lead them and feed them, who will nurture them, who will admonish them, who will rejoice with them when they rejoice and weep with them when they weep. And just think, you might not fill totally their bill of particulars. You just might not be the man they were dreaming about and praying for. But they will accept you, and they will honor you, and they will love you, warts and all, because you are the instrument of God to speak to them the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Because they really believe that you come there in the name of Jesus Christ to be pastor, shepherd, to be one who will care for the flock. And therefore, as you enter upon your ministry, they ask you the same thing, that you will accept them, and that you will love them and care for them as children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, that you will work among them as one sent by the Lord to care for his sheep, to nurture those whom he has redeemed with his blood. They ask you, too, to accept them, warts and all, as people of God. Now, it's not going to be perfect. No doubt you will have to suffer the cantankerous elder. And no doubt you will have at least one resident know-it-all who will tell you all the time that they indeed do. And you may even come to the conclusion that someone in that parish fits the Pauline description as the instrument of Satan sent to buffet you. No one ever said it was going to be perfect, but you ought to regard it as the most beautiful place in the world, because that is where the Son of God has sent you by his Spirit's power to represent him. And that ought to make it the greatest place you've ever heard of, because you will go with nothing less than such authority. But authority brings responsibility. It does not stand alone. There is an axiom in administration that you never give man a responsibility if you do not give him the authority to act. You do not make him responsible if you don't give him the wherewithal to perform. I believe that the obverse is also true. that where there is authority, there is also responsibility. You are given this authority to forgive sin, and that carries its own responsibility. The responsibility that you, that your lifestyle, that your marriage, your family, your personal financial affairs, your life in the community will be such that the ministry be not blamed. Note, it doesn't say the minister. He will too. But far more important is that the ministry be not blamed. That the office, the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ not be brought into disrepute by those who have such authority. But rather let your ministry be so characterized that not in spite of you, but because of you, men will glorify God who has given such authority to man. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
In a meeting on last Thursday, October 29th, the Ministerial Placement Committee of the Council of Presidents of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod assigned vicarages to you men whom the faculty of Concordia Seminary and the Colloquy Committee presented for vicarage placement at this time. Through its placement committee, the Council of Presidents joyfully acknowledges that you are ready to serve the Lord and His church as vicars. We pray that God will bless and guide your labors and your learning during your vicarages. Will each of you seminarians in the Colloquy or Divinity, Master of Divinity program, please step forward to receive your assignment as your name, together with the place of your assignment, is called. Charles Wood Dickinson, Kansas District, Calvary and Zion Lutheran Churches, Wellington, Argonia, Kansas. Thank you. Alfred E. Gallmeyer, Oklahoma District, Trinity Lutheran Church, Diamond, Oklahoma. Velmer Herman Gable, Minnesota South District, St. James Lutheran Church, Howard Lake, Minnesota. Gary A. Bickner, Ohio District, St. Mark Lutheran Church, Cleveland, Ohio. Keith R. Berta, Texas District, Amoria Lutheran Church, Houston, Texas. Stephen Gifford Englehart, Southern District, Trinity Lutheran Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Ricky Carl Menzing, English District, Board for Missions, Catalina, Arizona.